Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Throughout the podcast episodes, I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. This episode features guest Lauren Williams as she shares what friction in your spirit means, how she defines spirituality, the art of existing, and many more gems. Lauren also speaks about the impact her podcast has made on her, Imperfectly Phenomenal Woman, where she speaks to women on the limiting beliefs that hold them back from living fully and authentically. Listen and learn about what acknowledgement does when trying to search for clarity. Hey, Lauren, welcome, and thank you so much for taking out the time to be here on Ilani Talks for an episode.
Of course, I'm happy to join you.
So the audience gets to know you before our conversation. Can you share what you do and what you want to be known for?
Hey, everybody. My name is Lauren Williams. I am the host of Imperfectly Phenomenal Woman podcast. And on my podcast, I talk to different women each week about limiting beliefs that hold women back from living fully and authentically. Outside of that, I'm also a graphic designer. I'm in communications, but those aren't the things that I love as much as my podcast. So I'll just stick with that as the main thing of what I do. And then as far as what I want to be known for, I was thinking about that and I don't know. I don't think it's a bad thing that I don't know. I think when I think of the words, what do I want to be known for? That more so goes with like the way I want other people to see me. And at this point, I think I'm very much more like what matters to me is how I see myself. And so I almost just like, I don't want to be known for something. I just want to be.
Thank you for being so honest about that. That's actually one of the first, I don't know, answers to this question. And I love the way you just put that. You just want to be.
I just want to be. And that's it. That's really it. And I want to experience. I want to explore. I want to connect. Like, I want to do all those things. But like, I know my life will continuously evolve and change and like, who knows what's going to happen. So far, things like have just happened to me for the good and for the bad. And I've just taken them as they go. And that's been fine. And I just want to be. And that's just it. We'll call it a day. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on people sometimes to feel like they're supposed to know what's next. And so many of us are in that space of like, I don't know what's next, but I can be excited for whatever's supposed to be coming next and just be okay with the uncertainty.
Wonderful answer. Love that. So to kickstart our main conversation, what does mental health mean to you?
I think mental health to me, and I know that this would be different from person to person, but it's more like experiencing peace of mind and having like clarity of mind. I feel like when I'm personally worried about my mental health is when there's so much chatter and noise and just like my brain feels way too full. And that's when I start to become stressed or anxious. So when I'm able to have clarity and peace, to me, that equates to health and also like just wellness or well-being. So I would say clarity and peace of mind.
Yeah, that chatter is like information overload and also emotional overload with whatever is that external chatter that kind of puts us off balance with our mental health.
I think emotional overload, like that's, I love those two words together. Not the experience of it, but like.
Of course not.
Exactly. But that's, it's so clear because I think sometimes when you have all that chatter in your head, sometimes I feel like it's separate from emotions, at least the thought of it, but it is all completely tied to emotions.
And I use that because I experience that very easily and I have to be really conscious of how I use my energy, who I'm speaking to, what I'm like ingesting visually and all of my senses. Like I'm super sensitive and a huge empath. So I have gotten a lot better in terms of not letting things really emotionally drain me, but it happens. So how do the limiting beliefs we individually carry affect our mental health? And what advice can you give someone trying to work through this?
Limiting beliefs are tricky. And I say that because I feel like a lot of the time, we don't even realize that we have them. And so the way that I explain limiting beliefs, I think they are those internal narratives that kind of ruminate in our mind. And not even, sometimes they don't ruminate, but those internal beliefs that hold us back from really getting to experience life the way that we want to live it. And they come from childhood, they come from how we were raised, they come from the expectations of others, and they don't allow us to really be who we want to be. So it's important to recognize that all of us have limiting beliefs that hold us back, even if it's not something that you've ever thought about before. You have them. We all have them. And I think the first step is recognizing that we have them. And so in those moments, when you experience friction in your spirit, and that is like those moments where there's something that you want to do, but you feel like you're not supposed to because you're worried about the judgment of others or worried about how your parents might think of you, but they're the things that you really, really, really want to do, you're holding yourself back because you see that as something you're not supposed to do, and that's a limiting belief. But really starting to acknowledge that friction that you have, acknowledge that like desire that you have to do something and that like fear that holds you back from doing it. Once you acknowledge it, then you can start to address it. And so once you start to address it, you say, okay, wait, I realize that this is a thought that I'm having internally. Is this truly how I feel? Is this truly what I believe? Once you make that determination for yourself, then you can move forward with what you actually want. But the first step of it all is really just acknowledging that something is holding you back. You're experiencing that friction. And then after that, you can actually address it.
Yeah, acknowledgement is so necessary to any change we want to see or beliefs we want to really uncover of ourselves. So thank you for saying that, because I do believe that wholeheartedly with anything. And also experiencing things in my own life, once you acknowledge whatever it is, then it doesn't become as heavy.
I totally agree. I feel the same way. And then also as it like relates to mental health, when we don't acknowledge it and we continuously like try to push it down, that's when it starts to really impact our mental health. The more we ignore it, the more that we push that feeling down, the more friction it starts to cause. And it can even like start to manifest physically too, right? It might like, for different people, anxiety shows up different ways in their body. I've talked to some people who say they feel it in their stomach. Some people feel it in their throats. Some people, it just feels like a really full mind or brain. I don't know. And in those moments, it's because there's oftentimes something that we're not acknowledging and something that we're not giving to ourselves that we really want and that you even deserve.
And you're not processing it if we're not acknowledging it as well. And also to move forward, especially in the mental health aspect, we need to process a lot of what we're actually going through versus, like you say, like just push it away or kind of ignore it. So yeah.
And that's a habit. Pushing it down and ignoring it, that's a habit. And that's a habit that can be changed though. And so the more you practice acknowledging, and this is something that I've been doing for maybe, I don't know, a few years now, practicing acknowledging my thoughts and acknowledging my fears and acknowledging my friction, the more that I'm doing it, the better I'm getting at catching my thoughts in a certain moment. I've literally, like this past week, as soon as I catch a thought, I'm like, stop. I literally say that out loud. I'm like, stop. And then I do something else. And it's been working.
Saying stop to yourself is sometimes all you need to just like redirect, like, right. Okay. Right. Right. I shouldn't be doing this, or I shouldn't be thinking like this. Let me move forward in a better light. While it's not always easy to find a sense of peace, how do you do that for yourself, especially in the moments where the last thing you could feel is peace?
I love experiencing peace. I feel like there's different levels to it, of course. In the moments where I experience true peace, oh my gosh, it is just so like, it's so pure. It's such a pure feeling. But the way that I go about cultivating it and connecting with it is, one, again, you got to acknowledge the moments when you need peace and you got to stop doing what you're doing and kind of transition into seeking peace. And so I'll like remove myself from a certain area that might be stressing me out. Going to the park is one thing that is helpful for me. Something about being outside and feeling like wind, seeing leaves, like hearing the sound of leaves rustling, really connecting with nature and humanity and just like the greater universe, I think for me helps me to feel peace. Even last night, I had my window closed, but then as soon as I opened it, I was so excited to see the moon. And in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a treat. And then I just sat and I stared at the moon, because in the middle of the city, sometimes you don't see stars and different things like that. But the moon was like right within my direction from my bed. And I was just so happy. And I just laid there and just staring at the moon. And for me, that was so peaceful. Staring at the stars, that's peaceful for me. Just experiencing the outside world.
Nature is so important to really find that peace and like that grounding that we definitely don't get from, like you say, you live in a city, the city, or all our devices that we're on all the time. Even if it's really like 15 minutes, even if you don't necessarily have like a whole hour to spend outside or a whole day, just having that time that's just yours, that is definitely peaceful.
And I've noticed too, when I go on walks, so I started going on walks every day once the pandemic started, because I wasn't moving, I work from home. And going on walks just like around the block, it truly resets me. And it makes me feel so much better when I come in the house after six. It re-energizes me. It's so helpful. I love a good walk.
As you were explaining stepping outside and seeing the leaves and just your descriptors of that, I was like, that's such a like spiritual experience, which is so great because that's where our conversation's heading now. But to lead with that, how do you define spirituality to be?
I think defining spirituality can be like really complex, but I think it's really just like a belief in something greater than yourself. And don't get me wrong, like I think as individuals, we are all wildly powerful. Every person is insanely powerful. It's amazing. But simultaneously, like, I do believe in something greater that's out there. Personally, I believe in God. And for me, that's what I consider to be spirituality. I'm a spiritual being. Even existence, that is something that makes me believe in the fact that there has to be something greater than me. I'm a body, and within my body, there is a spirit. Because when my body goes, that spirit goes out into the universe, goes to heaven. And that is just so wild. The fact that a body can still exist in the earth and the spirit leaves it. That is so wild to me. You have to believe in something, even just from the cycle of life.
That is such a good point. Like, how could we not be spiritual if, like, when we pass away, like we leave our bodies.
Literally. And it's so clear. It's so clear. It's right there. We live and we die. But what is that part within us that is living? And so I think for me also, like I had an ex who passed away when I was, 24, 25. And that was so jarring for me. He was 30 when he passed. And the idea of like, his being not being in his body anymore, that was so mind-blowing to me. So I feel like it's so easy to believe in something greater than ourselves.
Even after someone passes away, like there's still an entity of them somewhere, somehow showing you signs in different ways, or you just like literally feeling an energy that's them that you know without thinking about it. Like, oh, okay, that person is here with me or has been guiding me. Or
I think for sure I had a moment after he had passed away. I was sitting on the couch, I was crying, and I felt like the whole time I had felt so strong throughout the process. He was a super, super, super strong guy, like literally physically, loved working out and all that kind of stuff, which is also why it was like so shocking when he passed away suddenly. But I felt like he was in me and like holding me up and keeping me together. Basically, I'd never felt so strong in my life. It was crazy. And then one day, maybe a week in or something after he had passed, I was like, I'm okay now. You can leave me, blah, blah, blah. Like, go ahead, go be with Kurt. Kurt was his roommate. And I was like, he needs you. I know he's really struggling. Like, go be with Kurt. And as soon as I said that, I felt like this feeling come out of my chest. And it was almost like, I don't know if you watch Harry Potter, if you've seen Harry Potter, but like
a big fan over here.
When I think it's the Death Eaters will like go suck the spirit out of somebody. You know that like that image? That is literally how it felt coming out of my chest. That's literally how it felt. It was so crazy. And then as soon as he left, I was like, Ryan, he left me. That was my roommate's name. I was like, he's gone. He like really left me. And I felt so weak after that. But after a moment like that, I was like, oh, this universe is wild. This stuff is all very real.
What an experience.
It was crazy.
Did you always feel spiritual? And if not, what moment or series of moments defined that for you?
I've been in church all my life, but I don't feel like I learned anything for majority of it. I don't feel like I really connected with it for majority of it. I was really going through the motions of go to church and do what, you know, happens in the church. And more recently, I've been reading the Bible daily, really trying to connect with it, really trying to understand what this is all about so that I can be more grounded in my spirituality. And I don't think before the last maybe 2-3 years or so, probably 3 years before that, I wouldn't say that I was truly spiritual. But now, the past maybe 3 years, I really have been getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And I feel like there's so much value in it. And the moments that led to it, one, me going to this particular church that I go to, it's called Spirit of Faith. And the pastor is just so amazing to me. I just think he's so cool. I think his words just like align so often with a lot of the things that make sense to me. It's super motivational. And once I started going to that church is when I really started to, I would say, grow in my spirituality. Having the experiences like I had with my ex when he passed, I would say that added to it. And probably podcasts too.
I love that.
Yeah, listening to some podcasts I think also helps.
Yeah, having a pastor who makes you feel that, I think kind of ups your spirituality if it wasn't there before. And that's so important. Like I as well have grown up in the church and gone through the motions. And I think probably around the same timeline as you, like 3 to 4 years or so is when I've really been able to expand in my spirituality and really sit with it a lot more than probably when I was younger.
And that might also be what it is. You know, we were young. And so I guess we just didn't understand and didn't really get the connection. But as we're getting older, we're like, oh, maybe we should sit with this a little more.
And also, if you grow up in the church, you're kind of doing kind of like everyone else is telling you, or you're doing what everyone else is doing. And it's easy to kind of follow that because like you're young and you're little. So what are you going to do? And you haven't explored that for yourself. So thank goodness we've had that space to really connect how we feel is right for ourselves. How do you stay connected to the spiritual side of yourself when you feel hopeless?
I'm thinking of the word hopeless specifically because I don't know if I've ever experienced a feeling of feeling hopeless. I've experienced a lot of deep, wild feelings, but I don't think I've ever felt hopeless. And I think that also goes back to just like the fact that we exist, that is wild. The fact that we exist is wild. Therefore, I believe that absolutely anything is possible. Therefore, I also believe that there is always hope. So I don't really ever feel hopeless. I don't think I will ever feel hopeless. Hopefully not. Hopefully I don't. But when I am experiencing moments that aren't the greatest, I think those are the moments when I wonder if, honestly, I turn to my spirituality in those moments more, or if I'm super distracted by the moment that I don't turn to the spirituality. I feel like it's been quite a while for me. Thank God that I've really had a moment of deep like sorrow. I know the last time I experienced true sorrow, I didn't necessarily turn to God. But when I'm experiencing maybe like anxiety, and this is interesting because I'm kind of having a therapy session in my mind right now. When I'm experiencing maybe moments of anxiety, and that's something that I have experienced a lot more recently, I do feel like when I'm reading the Bible in the morning, that has been helping. When I'm going on my walks, that has been helping. All of that technically is kind of connected spiritually, the walks included. I don't know. I think this is interesting. I'm working this out in my head as I'm talking.
Maybe as you're doing these things, you are already connected to that spiritual side of yourself, that even when things come up and how you mentioned anxiety, that you're able to kind of still be in it in a way and still lean in it because you're already there.
Maybe. But I think there's also a part of me that feels like there's a gap here for me. And when I do experience like my anxiety, I'm not turning to the right place. And maybe that's why it's been lingering so much more. I keep looking to the external world for things that will make me feel better. But maybe that's not where I should be looking.
It's definitely within.
Yeah, girl.
Can't always trust the external to kind of pick us up, as much as that would be like the easier thing to do. But the real work is inner work. So after speaking and sharing about spirituality, I now want to talk about the friction in your spirit that you brought up. What does that mean? When can that happen? And what to do when it comes up?
Yeah, so I think friction in your spirit, it's something that we all experience. And I kind of mentioned this earlier too. It can come up at any moment where you're presented with an option that isn't for you. That's the majority of the time that I think it comes up. There's something that you're considering doing that you know isn't best for you. And then there's just this like thing that comes up inside of you. And it's like, it's the thing that causes the anxiety. I see it personally as static. That's how it feels for me. It's usually like in my chest, but I'm sure it probably manifests differently for different people within their body. But it comes up. It's the thing that's in the back of your mind that's saying, don't do that. That's not the best decision for you. And do we continuously push it away? We keep pushing it away and pushing it away and pushing it away. And it keeps building up and building up and building up until eventually your body forces you to recognize it because something in your body has broken down. It's interesting. It's an interesting experience for sure.
Yeah. And I love like that phrase, friction in your spirit. It's like, oh, wow, that's such a great way to put it, because that's how it feels. At least as you're explaining it, me thinking of how it comes up for myself, it's like I try my best to always like be mindful of everything. But of course, like we're human, so we're not always going to get that bit perfect. But for myself, it is definitely a bodily experience as well. And that's when I know for sure, right? Like you need to take a step back from here, or, you know, like you need to stop doing this, or, you know, whatever it is that's going on. Yeah, it's so crazy.
It can be something as small as knowing you probably shouldn't eat that thing that messes with your stomach every time. Or it could be as large as something telling you, you shouldn't take that job. Don't settle. Or something telling you, you know, you should ask for the raise, but you're afraid. And there's that friction that is caused from the fact that you aren't taking the leap. The friction is telling you that what you're considering doing is not what's best for you. Do what's best for you. But so often we fear the outcome of doing what's best for us. We get scared that it's not actually going to happen. We get scared that someone else is going to say something in response to it that isn't positive. We get scared of all these things. But what's best for you is what's best for you. So we got to stop ignoring that friction, like acknowledge it. But that's a muscle you got to build too, is the acknowledgement part again.
As you were saying all of this, I'm like, sometimes the friction in your spirit definitely tells you to stop being scared and just do the thing that scares you. And oh my God, especially for myself, like this year, I've taken a lot of so many leaps that I would have not taken before because I would be so nervous or too scared. And there was this one particular thing that I've done, and I'm just like, before, or like as I was committing to it, I got so terrified. My stomach started hurting, and I'm like, all right, you need to calm down because you're just nervous that this is too big for you, but you could do this. I had to give myself like kind of like that pep talk so that I could just get through it, you know?
Yeah, like you exist. That's crazy. I keep going back to that for this one, for this. I don't know why I keep going back to this for this discussion specifically, but you exist. Do you know how wild that is?
I know.
The fact that you're already here, the fact that you're talking to me right now, the fact that like you started this podcast, you are literally capable of absolutely anything.
Oh, I got goosebumps as you were saying that.
Like, you're already here. You exist. You got it. You could do it.
Thank you for that pep talk. No, seriously. We sometimes doubt ourselves, and the biggest person to doubt ourselves sometimes is us.
Oh, so true.
Which really, really sucks because we carry us everywhere and do everything with ourselves that we should be our biggest cheerleaders. But that also goes with the limiting beliefs we first started speaking about and just working through all of that. And that acknowledgement is also so important so that we could kind of break through everything we need to break through in our lifetime, however long that is, you know?
Absolutely. We need to be our biggest cheerleaders. I would say I'm not always my biggest cheerleader too. It's easiest for us to continuously put ourselves down because we're with ourselves all the time, you know? We can get annoyed with ourselves occasionally. Like, so I totally get it. But we really are absolutely capable of anything just because we merely exist.
Love that. Just existing in this world. It's a miracle.
It is. I think it's something like the chances of you being born are like one in a trillion or something like that.
How mind-blowing is that?
It's some crazy, crazy number. Some crazy number.
So everyone who's listening, please remember that you are a miracle. You are a miracle. And that huge number you just shared, just think of that a bit more. Yeah, think about that when you're talking not nice words to yourself.
Yeah, it does not matter that your hair is not laid in the way that it should be laid today. That doesn't matter. Stop telling yourself these negative things, friend. You're great. Your hair looks great. Your body looks great. You're brilliant. You can do all the things. Just go be great because you can and you are.
Listen to us, guys. Listen to Lauren giving these gems for sure. Before we wrap up our conversation, I'd love to talk about your podcast, Imperfectly Phenomenal Woman. Can you share the journey before you decided to launch it, when you actually published it, and how it's changed from the very first episode?
So I love my podcast. I feel like I've discovered myself in it, and that is what I love so much about it. So I talk to different guests each week about, like I said, the limiting beliefs that hold us back. And in each episode, we reframe them to start to shift our mindset towards it a bit. So it's been such an interesting journey. I started it when I was living in New York, and I realized that everybody there was an individual. After leaving Virginia and going to New York, I realized that so many people from where I grew up are so similar. We all dressed the same. There was so much of us that was exactly alike. And we were doing that to be accepted, right? But when I got to New York, I was like, oh, I can be free. I can be me. Like, who am I though? And so I started going through this journey of trying to figure out who I was. Couple that with the fact that I had a breakup. And with that breakup, I was trying to like live up to being the perfect girlfriend and really starting to realize like I'm trying to do all of these things to make everyone else happy, but I'm not doing anything to make myself happy. So who am I? What do I want? Let's figure it out. So I was crying to my friend one day after that breakup, and she was like, Lauren, you're an imperfectly phenomenal woman, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's going to be my podcast. Done. Like, I stopped crying. I was good. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, good.
That's what you needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, I am. And that's my podcast.
Yes, exactly. And before that moment, I had never considered having a podcast, never considered sharing my voice, none of that. But in that moment, that was exactly what I knew I wanted to do. And so with episode one, that one was about relationships, and it was really a test episode. Because I didn't think I'd be good at talking at all. I refused to speak on a mic. Like, I was terrified. But as soon as I started recording with her, I just started feeling completely comfortable and like it was the space I was supposed to be in. But since then, the structure has changed, because even though at that point I was already talking about limiting beliefs every week, I'd never heard of the term limiting beliefs until about a year in. So once I heard that term and realized what I was actually doing, then I was able to kind of set up more of a structure to the podcast in general. So with the talk about limiting beliefs, and at the end, we do the reframe. So I would say that that's primarily how it shifted. I finally figured out what I was actually doing. Just grown and turned into something that I really love. And I'm just discovering myself as I go.
And I think that goes into our next question, but maybe you could dive a bit deeper into that. But what have you found that it's done for you as a podcaster and as a person?
Probably confidence. I think I've always been a pretty confident person, but confidence in who I am and what I want is what's different, rather than just general confidence. I think it's helped me shift from existing to actually living. And with the existing, I did an episode with another girl and she was like, what do you think has changed the most from your early 20s to your late 20s? And that was the main thing. I think I shifted from existing, just reacting to life, to living now. And I think the podcast is a huge part of that because I'm talking about limiting beliefs to all of these women. I'm learning so much from all of these women. I'm breaking down the unrealistic expectations that society wants us to live up to. And I'm really starting to make decisions for myself.
Wonderful. I love the impact that your podcast has had on you and you just exploring all these different areas and really learning what you're actually doing and putting like those defining words there, like limiting beliefs. I think that's such a beautiful journey so far. And I could totally see myself in that as well, because when I started my podcast, I had like an overall kind of general idea of what I wanted to do. But when it came to like my second season, I kind of really solidified like, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm redefining self-care and self-love for your mental health. And since that, it's just been even better in a way. And I love how you mentioned how you never thought that you would be okay on the mic, but now you feel more comfortable, and that confidence part of it, I totally agree with that too. Like, I'm a huge introvert, so like talking isn't necessarily my go-to unless it's with purpose, of course. But just when I started, I was like, what am I going to talk about? How am I going to get my guests? I just also took that leap of faith because I knew I was thinking about it for a very long time. And I knew if I didn't start, I was just never going to start this thing that was just at the back of my head for the longest of time. But
and there was friction there, I'm sure, telling you to do it.
Definitely. Friction was all there. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And it's just been a great ride so far.
Yeah, I think podcasting is an interesting journey because you start to hear your thoughts out loud as opposed to them just being in your head. You really get to hear them and kind of meet yourself.
And then you have amazing conversations with your guests and you just connect more with people. And like you say, you hear yourself. So it's a whole experience. That's great.
Yeah. I've learned that I love talking to strangers. I love talking to strangers almost more than like my regular friends. I love strangers and getting deep with strangers because it's so much that you just don't know about a person. And there's so much to just meet and explore. It's cool.
And like I said, it's with purpose that you're doing it. Like when you're speaking, especially with a podcast episode, like you have a thought in mind of or like the topics or just offering that space for yourself and for others to really show up as who they are without judgment, you know? And I think hopefully most podcasters have similar experiences as us. To close out everything we shared, can you give our listeners advice on keeping their mental health a priority in their life no matter what happens?
I think I would say acknowledge the friction, acknowledge your thoughts. And I think that's so, so, so important because we always try to ignore the things that are ruminating in our mind and we just let them ruminate. And we always just try to ignore the feelings that we have sometimes and not really explore them. We gotta explore your feelings, explore your thoughts, ask yourself, why am I thinking this? I had a moment the other day where I realized I was having this recurrent thought that was not healthy. And as soon as I realized it was recurring, I was like, wait, what is this? Like, what is this thought? And then as soon as I like started to break it down, I was like, this is crazy. This thought has got to go. And then once I acknowledged that, then the thought was gone. you got to really sit with it and acknowledge your thoughts and emotions. Don't just let them go wild. Like, sit with them, meet them. Hey, thought, what's up? What's going on here? How you feeling, thought?
Get real with yourself. Like, that's,
get real with yourself.
I've been saying that a lot lately, and I don't know why, but what is going on? What is this feeling? Like you say, sit with your feelings and say, like, hey, why are you being like this? What's really going on?
Yeah, I call my little anxiety monster, her name is Lucy. And so when she goes crazy, I'll just sit and be like, Lucy, what is going on today? What are you feeling? What's happening? Can we take a nap? Let's take a nap. And that's how I visualize it with her too. Like, if I am having too much of an anxiety moment, I will literally visualize Lucy, my anxiety monster, just, I'm putting her to bed. It's okay, Lucy. We got to calm down.
Thank you so much for coming on, Lauren, and speaking about these topics and really reminding us of our existence and how crazy that is, but how much we should value that. And all of your insights on the friction of your spirit and everything else was definitely something that I loved of our conversation. And I know definitely our listeners will appreciate all these gems.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. And listeners, thank you. If you stuck around this long, I appreciate you too. Girl, you're amazing. You're existing. Go, girl. Live. I'm excited for you.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details we discussed in this episode and more about the guest. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit ilanitalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.